let's get it going. Got an early start. Took me a little off guard, but we're ready. We're set. Let's go. Hut, hut. Call us up, everybody. Hit the phone numbers. Hit us in the numbers, 715-424-2600. We want to hear from you, your sports takes, your sports feelings. Go ahead and get them out. Get them to us. We want to talk to you. Want to send a big shout-out to Quality Plus Printing, sponsoring this hour, giving us a chance to hang out with you, talk a little sports. Got plenty to get into today. A little bit later, I believe Michael Comer is going to be joining us in a bit. Want to talk about the NBA scandal. We have put it off long enough. We got to get into that a little bit. Certainly want to talk about the World Series. We got our River Kings on the road this weekend. I want to talk a little bit about that as well. Got a couple places and a couple things I want to get into. But, we have to start with a game ago. Because last night's game in the World Series, certainly interesting and worth talking about, and we'll get to it in a moment, especially a couple of key parts. But we can't talk about yesterday's game without talking about the Game 3. And one of the longest, if not the longest, game in World Series history. Two games, really. 18 innings. And a ton of history made in that one. The first thing I want to touch on with that is this. I have heard just thrown around randomly without, at least it doesn't feel like a whole lot of thought put to it. The greatest baseball game ever. And I'm curious what people think of that one. Because I watched the majority of that game. I would say around the 6th, 7th inning, I came in. And because I'm insane, I did watch to the end. And I could take a lie detector test on that one. Because apparently it's a big deal to some people. You can't just say that. You can't just say that. Like, all right. I really don't care if you watched it or not, or if you lie about it, you watched it or not. Really doesn't bother me one way or the other, but you know, some people, they just get a little bent out of shape over anything. I was up watching that one and saw the Freeman homer and everything. And I thought, wow, what an amazing game. You're probably never going to see something like that again. And if you do, it probably will be a while or something. But just because a game is 18 innings doesn't make it the greatest baseball game of all time. Like, just because it was long? Because that's what you're going on. That's essentially what you're saying. The drama was so, brought up because of the essentially lack of being able to get runners home. I think there was a stat, 37 runners left on base in that game. You had the greatest player in the series and the greatest player in the game get on base 9 times, which is amazing. But he's also walked 5 of them. Which is the most uninteresting part of baseball to me, the intentional walk. Explain something to me real quick as a side quest here, as a side story. In a sport where I hit a home run off you and I flip the bat in the air, the next batter, as a pitcher, you're allowed to hit them by the baseball rules because that's the manly thing to do. And in the same sport, the manly thing to do when you have a guy who is one of the greatest hitters of all time is to intentionally walk him? How does that add up? How does that make sense? Like, I get the rules. I'm an adult. I've been watching baseball for 40-some years. I understand how the game works, but I don't understand how you make that connection in your brain that is the same kind of managerial skills or that's the same approach to the game. But I digress. It's an interesting game. It's a wild game to think of in the history of these things. Especially when you consider that we'll never see something like this again and probably and everything. But I don't know that it makes it the greatest game of all time. Did you watch it? Did you see any of it? Do you think that it is one of them? Let me know. What do you think? I did think that there were a couple of, fascinating things that came out of it, of course. You had just a handful of hits throughout the majority of the game. Because for a good stretch there wasn't a whole lot of action going on. Just intense drama. And at a certain inning, I don't know when it was, the 10th inning, 11th inning, or whatever, I kind of did something I don't think I've ever done in a game. I know that there has to have been, I watched a lot of sports in my life. There has to have been at least one or two times I felt this way. But I cannot remember a single time in my life where I've ever been watching a game and I'm just like, I don't care who wins. Just end this. End this. It needs to end. This needs to stop. Life needs to move on. I don't care if it's a tie. I don't care who wins. I don't care if a team that's not even playing wins. Just please end this game. And I like baseball. I really do. I love it. But at a certain point, it was just kind of like somebody win this thing. Freddie Freeman did for the Dodgers. What a hit. To have the energy to lift that ball up, because if you're watching the game, there's a handful of balls that look like they're going out, and to the announcers, I don't think it's a matter of them thinking the ball was actually going out. It was sheer hope. Just sheer hope that the game was going to end, I think, is what it came down to for a lot of the announcers and a lot of the fans in attendance. I'm pretty sure that's what it was. Eventually, though, Freeman hits it out. But you had a couple of those balls, because of the temperature and everything, that were not going out. For Freeman to be able to have not only the energy in the 18th inning and the ability through that the weather to be able to knock that ball out was very impressive to me. I don't know if it was as impressive as what I saw in Game 4, which is where we are caught up as the series is tied 2-2. Got a pretty decent World Series going on. And as a side note, side quest here, this is one of the closer examples we have of a true World Series. Michael Kormer, our sports director around here, joining us. Good to see you, man.
Good to see you, too.
When it comes to the World Series, this has always been kind of a joke among people. It's the World Series, and, it's us in North America, Canada. It's not really a whole lot of else. As far as other countries being represented by players, certainly it always has been. But as far as the teams and the logo, the name, all that on the jersey, it's American teams with one or two Canadian teams in history. But right now, with that hasn't changed here, obviously, but because of the connection between California and Toronto, and because of the large amount of, if not everybody in Japan, watching this series for a number of different players, among Ohtani and everything, you've really got I wouldn't say a World Series, but almost a UN World Series. You've almost got all the countries. You've almost got everybody. Not everybody, but you almost got them all.
Yeah, you got a bunch of them.
You got a bunch of them, but it's kind of cool to think of when you look at it that way, and you think of like. I know as a true gypsy, somebody who's lived all over and moved all over the place, one of the things I enjoy is when things people are brought together from all over the planet. And here you have a moment like that where you have people from all over watching this, whether it is Canada or it is Japan or it is right here in the States. It's pretty cool, I think.
It's cool when it's an American sport, which baseball, traditionally, through history, it's America's sport. Football is, but I digress on that point.
Because I'm American, I claim both.
Okay, all right. Well, there ain't nobody that's going to stop either.
No.
So you have that. America's sport is being watched by the world. That is awesome. Whereas the world sport, soccer, sometimes gets watched in America.
Yeah.
So I think it's cool. You know, should take that for what it's worth of being American. You know, flexing the muscles like Hulk Hogan.
Absolutely.
And, drinking a beer with electric guitar, and not at the same time, of course. But I mean, you get what I'm saying.
Oh,
it's
everything
that's American is there. You have it.
But we were kind of the you have one of the greatest sporting moments of all time. One of the greatest boxing matches of all time take place in Africa.
Yeah.
You have with the Rumble in the Jungle. You have certain places where the location is very different. I think between the matchup we had last night between Shohei Ohtani and Vlad Guerrero with a Canadian-Japanese player in the States, I think is a pretty cool moment. I think it's kind of interesting. And, yes, you had a diminished Ohtani to a degree after playing that game, but so did Vlad. Vlad was in the same game he was in.
They were in the same spot.
And that matchup was just intense and fun to watch. And then to see Vlad, because Ohtani got him later, but in that first at bat, Vlad takes that ball out, and it's something different with this guy, because not only his swing is so smooth and violent and just quick violent, but this guy is not trying to hit home runs.
No.
He's a old school hitter. He looks like, and because of his numbers, sometimes you think of him as a home run hitter, but that's not his game. He's looking to get on base.
Right.
If it's out of the park, great. He can take his time time around those bases. If not, he's getting on and he's trying to hustle. He's trying to do something. He had an up and down game as far as his fielding and everything, but an overall great game and a great series so far. We'll see how this goes. Baseball doing everything they can to avoid football by just jamming these games together in the week. You get one day off, and then we're going to make sure the World Series one way or another wraps up on a Saturday, and it doesn't even get near Sunday.
Yeah, and you know what? That's smart.
Yep.
That's very smart. You know what you're going up against. And no disrespect to baseball, because you know me. I like baseball. I like watching it. If I had a choice of watching Sunday night or a World Series game, I don't really care who's playing Sunday night. I'm probably watching that. Now, you throw in Game 7.
It's a little
I'm
different.
Probably going to have a TV different. On one and another TV on
right.
another.
Yeah, yeah.
But if it's just, World Series game, whatever, Sunday night football, toodles here. I'm going to football.
Especially with a game like last night where the game wasn't out of hand, but it felt pretty certain that Toronto had that one in hand, especially once Ohtani left the
mound.
Last night, it wasn't the most interesting game as far as the World Series goes. That's probably going to be the one we get. You usually get one, if it's a seven-game series especially, you get one game that is just kind of a snoozer and everything. Understandable considering we had two games in Game 3. That's understandable.
Yeah, I did not make it through that entire one. I went to bed because I said, you know, at some point, I don't care. I want to go hunting.
Yeah, don't blame me. Baseball is one of the few sports, if not maybe the only sport, that can do one thing in those moments, though, that I think is kind of cool and storytell and talk about things.
Every game has a story, man.
You know, and it's really cool. And one of the things that I heard last night that I thought was really interesting that sent me down a rabbit hole is our story of the show. And it's Hideki Kiriyama, the Japanese manager, of the Japanese national team.
Yep.
And he is the manager of the fighters over there, one of their main teams, and a team that, of course, was the home of Shohei Ohtani, the team that he played for. Hideki started out as a journalist. He was a reporter, and he met Shohei Ohtani in high school. Now, Ohtani in high school is a, phenom.
Yeah.
He's a phenom, and like most high school kids, not just in Japan, but around the world, if he's playing baseball, he's playing all the positions, outfield and pitching. You know,
the way it should be.
Certain things haven't changed from the 50s to now. If you got the best athlete in high school is probably going to pitch. He's probably going to be throwing the ball.
Yeah.
And he's definitely playing baseball, especially here in the States. So this isn't any different in Japan. He's playing the sport. But as all these, Japanese teams are trying to recruit him, he's telling every one of them in high school, Ohtani is telling them, no, I'm going to the States. I'm going straight to the States. I want to be a pro. I want to go play over there. And during that time, Hideki becomes a manager of the fighters. He goes from being a journalist to being a manager of the team. And in that, he starts to recruit Ohtani. And Ohtani's like, no, I'm going over to the States. And he says to Ohtani, yeah, but here you could do something different. You could pitch and hit. And Ohtani's kind of like, what are you talking about? That's not how this works. And he's going, why not? Why can't it work that way? Why can't we do that? You're capable of it.
Yep.
Let's give it a shot.
Yep.
And he begins to mentor Ohtani and help Ohtani figure out a formula to do this, a way to rest, a way to be able to put your focus here and there. How do you be able to do that? It's not as simple as just going out there and picking up a bat or picking up the ball. You've got to be able to train your body for this. You have to condition for these things. And he helps him do this. He mentors him to do this. Mm-hmm. So without Hideki, I don't know if any of this even happens.
Yeah.
Ohtani comes to the States and he's a hitter or he's a pitcher. And more than likely, let's be honest, he's a lefty. He's probably pitching. And he's one of those freak of nature's pitchers that can, Bumgarner for a while there, where Bumgarner had a 300 batting average or something. Sure. But he's not talked about as one of the greats. He's not.
No.
Hideki really gets him on this path. And Hideki, it turns out to be kind of the Joe Madden of Japan, where he's just one of these weird guys who just sees the game differently and is a fascinating, interesting person. I thought it was a cool story. And I just always assumed Shohei, this is just who he was. He was always going to do this. He was always going to be a pitcher and a hitter and try to do both and all that. It turns out it really wasn't necessarily his idea. It wasn't really something that he was. I thought that was fascinating.
That's pretty
blew
cool.
My mind. Thought it was pretty interesting.
I actually got a story of the game, too. A story of the show. And I also have a trivia question for you.
Perfect.
That I totally spaced on Monday.
Right on.
Story of the game. Freiermuth got hurt during the Packer-Steeler game.
Yeah.
And he got hurt in a collision with Quay Walker.
Mm.
And after and during the game, I guess Freiermuth actually had to go to the hospital for it because it was nasty enough hit. After the game, there was no handshaking congratulations either with Quay Walker. He ran to the tunnel, ran to the locker room, and I guess he got a lift to the hospital to go and see Freiermuth. And hey, man, we're in the same brotherhood. We not a dirty hit. You were gone. You went to the hospital. Found out it was because of the hit that I delivered. No intention. And went there and you know, obviously made good. You know, they had a bro moment.
Yeah.
And the thing is, for all the things, and we've done it a couple times in the past. For all the times we've questioned the maturity of Quay Walker, for him getting thrown out of games, for being just a tool when he was younger. You've done it.
I've done it on this air. I know you have.
And that speaks to how much he has grown as a person, how much he does get it now. Mm-hmm. And the other part of it, too, wasn't that him who DK Metcalf went after during the game as well?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
He didn't retaliate?
I'm really glad you brought this up, because with all the things to talk about Monday, we didn't get a chance to. I should have made time to and everything, because I love being wrong. I love being wrong. I don't care. I don't care about looking like a fool. Mm-hmm. Do you think if I did, I'd have this haircut? Do you think I'd walk around looking like I do?
Bad.
The clothes I have?
You're fine.
When it comes to being wrong, it means that you get to learn something. It means that you have an opportunity to grow yourself. Mm-hmm. And hear Quay Walker, a guy that I all about.
You went after him.
But I went after him. I went after him hardcore. Mm-hmm. And you got to, this is something, and look, it isn't as if I made it up. Like, you know, we all saw
you were reporting what happened, man.
But so you've got, this isn't something you can only do for one game. You got to do it the rest of your career. You got to do it for life, man. But when a person does grow, when they do change, they deserve a benefit of, you know, hey, I was wrong about you, man. Way to be. Good, a tip of the cap to you, man. Way to be. And it's cool to see. And among all of that, also as a positive, I'm sure, as a Packer fan, is that means he's much more locked in as a player.
Yep.
I can't think that it's a coincidence that you bring a killer in like Micah Parsons and these things start to click. All of a sudden, these pieces that were missing or these things that just didn't gel together before because you didn't have leadership in that locker room, because I am sorry if it isn't become clear to everybody yet, Matt LaFleur is not respected in that locker room. They may like him, they may listen to him, but I have not seen one player on that team seem like they fear him, they respect him, or any of these things. And that doesn't mean you can't win. Look at what the Eagles just did. The Eagles, you can convince me one player on that team. They may like Sirianni. They may even hang out with him a little bit or something, but there ain't no respect there.
No.
You see it. You see it on the players. You see the way they treat him, the way they treat each other. As soon as things go wrong in Philly, everybody's yelling at each other, and the divaism comes out and everything. It's really easy to get along when you're winning games. How are you when things are bad? Green Bay showed us so much where every talking head wanted to tear them apart about Cleveland loss and all these things. What were we talking about? Man, this team kind of stuck together.
Yeah.
There wasn't a bunch of bickering. You didn't see a bunch of finger pointing.
And then a tie against Dallas.
You didn't have Tua coming out and rambling these weird, incoherent, crazy things that MC Escher couldn't figure out.
Some of that could have been CTE, though.
I hate to throw those things around, but man, you're not lying. when it comes to how Jordan Love, how LaFleur, how all these guys handled themselves after those losses, and even the Dallas tie, I didn't like some of what LaFleur did, but I really appreciated what the players did, because I feel like they were the grown-up in the room in a lot of ways. You can win this way, but you can't convince me. You can't convince me that they do. So what you have is you have players all of a sudden stepping up and doing that role.
Yep.
And one of them being Quay Walker, and a huge respect to him for that, because, man, that's going to be one of the this keeps up. That's going to be one of the crazier storylines to me of this season, just because of the way what we've seen of him. The talent's always been there. That's why he was drafted in the first round.
Absolutely right.
And why he was so great in college. He was a lot of fun in college to watch. If you've got Micah Parsons as your high, crazy hybrid defensive end linebacker, you know, strong safety at times, and you've got Gary just sitting there, just, are you going to be over there? Okay, I'll be over here. You know, you get him from the left, I get him from the right, or whatever you want to do here. And then just throw into that mix Quay Walker.
And you got Edgerrin Cooper in there too. Don't forget him.
Yes, yes.
Because Cooper's one of these. He just shows up and plays. He keeps his mouth shut.
When I was a kid, you didn't just have one good linebacker. You had four.
Yep.
You had four good linebackers.
Three at a minimum.
At the minimum three. Yeah, but you had to have four good linebackers. And I don't know the last time I saw that. If Green Bay goes from where they were last year, and even if you want to go farther back a year before that and everything, mm-hmm. where every even the biggest of fans had problems with that defense. Mm-hmm. When we could be looking at it, and come especially December, January, that's the strength of
when
this
team. When you need
team.
To be able to run the ball and they're that good against the run?
The strength of the team could actually be that inner core, that defense right there. That's amazing to mm-hmm. think of. That's a heck of a turnaround. And it's really, it proves that it can be done, too. It also has to aggravate you if you're an old school Packer fan. You're like, why did they do this some years ago?
Yeah, there is that, too.
That's easy to say. Hindsight's always easy to
say.
Oh,
yeah. Hindsight always is.
We will be looking at the schedule a little bit later. I did have one more baseball note I wanted to get in. Freddie Freeman holds the record for most walk-off home runs in World Series history with two. He's got the record with two. It's still pretty impressive when you think about it, even having two, even though it is just two. But in baseball, there's all these insane stats. You got Cal Ripken's consecutive yep. game streak, Hank Aaron's home run record. Yes, I did say Hank Aaron's home run record. The all-time hits. There are all these gigantic
yep.
numbers.
Strikeouts.
But walk-off home runs to win a World Series game, two. That's just two. That's kind of funny. I think that's kind of interesting.
Can I get that stat in quick so we get yes. some yeah. listeners here some time?
Yeah.
Now, we talked about last week of Aaron Rodgers, if he was to beat the Packers,
yeah.
he would have been the fifth quarterback to ever beat everybody in the 32-team era. Assuming this is his last year.
Yeah, yeah.
And assuming they don't meet in the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And then it would go his way, and then obviously he'd get number five. There's only, if he does retire after this year, then the Packers and Steelers do not play again. He would be the fourth quarterback to beat every team but one. Who are those four? And don't look it up. Because all of them are in the modern era, are within the last 25 years.
It's a fun stat. Yeah. It's a fun one. I love this stat.
But there are, but here's where I will throw an answer here. There are one, two, three, four. There are four quarterbacks currently who have beaten all 30, have beaten 31 teams. Mm-hmm. And those are Stafford, Wilson, Mahomes, and Rodgers.
That's amazing.
So who are those three who retired beating only 31? Give us a call,
715-424-2600. Hit us in the numbers, everybody. You can also call or text us through the Civic Media app. And if you got something else you want to talk about, feel free to do it, everybody. You guys direct the show. You are producers of the show. We'll talk about whatever you want sports-wise. I love this stat, and one of the things I love about it, Michael, I don't know about others, but you know, sometimes we project. We put ourselves in these shoes of these individuals and
yes.
everything, these giants. To me, if I'm a quarterback, there's certain things that I hold dear. There's certain stats, certain victories that I hold dear. Certainly when you get to beat your home, you know, the team that drafted you or traded you or any of these kind of things. There's all those kind of like things that are just a tier under winning a playoff game, winning a Super Bowl or something like that. If you told me that I could at the end of my career have beaten all 32 teams.
That's pretty cool.
Man, is that a cool stat. That really is. That's a wild one. Another one that I think is kind of cool that is a one more story of the show here, and a darn good one, and one that I think has a lot of ties locally and just in general if you love football and you love Mercedes Lewis.
Yes, I just saw that.
The Denver Broncos are signing the 41-year-old tight end Mercedes Lewis to their practice squad. If they promote him to the active roster to play in a game, he would become the oldest tight end to play in a game in NFL history in the Super Bowl era. No tight end has ever appeared in an NFL game at the age of 41 or older. And if there was ever going to be one to do it, it should be Mercedes Lewis.
He's a good dude, man.
All 7'20" of him all 250 pounds. He's probably still in amazing shape. I have enjoyed him since college. I love Mercedes Lewis. There was a time where a tight end of that size was a freak of nature. Now we see it from time to time. But there was a time where Mercedes Lewis was, not only was he that size, he was a three-down tight end coming out of college. Mm-hmm. He could do this. And look at the career he has had. If you are an athlete in college football, be good at everything. The game has changed. You can no longer just have a certain skill set that helps you be available at this play or that play. You know, they'll find time for you here and there, eventually maybe. But as far as having a long career, be good at all three assets of the game, and you end up looking like Mercedes Lewis does, where you're still playing even though you have no reason to do this.
Right.
There's no reason really to be
out
there.
Love of the game, man.
Man, he loves the game, and I love him for it. Big fan of Mercedes Lewis. I hope he gets activated. I hope he does. Denver probably hopes he does because, man, that's probably one of their few weaknesses on that team.
Yeah.
Now, corner might be because of losing the defensive player of the year, reigning defensive player of the year in Sertan. Denver is one of those teams we might have to take a little serious.
I think so.
Might have to. I've been a little weary of doing that so far, just because I'll be honest, I haven't paid as much attention to it.
Green Bay goes there in the middle of December, so I mean that'll be a 3:30 game. Boy, you could see a blizzard game in that one.
Oh man, I hope so. It's one of my favorite parts of football is the elements. I don't know if you could convince me certain states aren't going to be able to have football if we get rid of domes. And I will tell you, well, thanks for playing. You know, but we're moving on, because if I was commissioner and I had an opportunity to get rid of all domes,
I'd do it.
I'd do it in a heartbeat, in a second. I wouldn't think twice about it. You could come to me, but this, but that. I don't care. I don't care. Give me the elements.
But we can't win the Super Bowl. Well, too bad.
Too bad.
Too bad.
Sorry. That's just the way it worked. That's life, man.
You could have one stadium just for the Super Bowl.
Sure.
Have it filled once every 10 years.
We'll give you the draft. We'll give you other things. You're going to have other stuff in there and everything. But as far as the Super Bowl being played outdoors is the only way to watch it, only way it should be played in my book. There are certain things that I will not die. I will not give up on. That is one of them, man. You cannot convince me the Super Bowl should ever be played indoors.
Right.
I love New Orleans. I love that stadium. I like I don't know if there's been a Super Bowl that took place in New Orleans that I didn't enjoy. It just seems to work out that way.
Oh, there's been so many good ones.
I just love
that
area.
The Bears won theirs there.
Yep.
Green Bay won theirs in 96 there.
Yep. I love it. It's a great
stadium. The lights went out.
To me, though, I would still want it outdoors.
Yeah.
Give me it outdoors. I think it's fun. More fun that way. We want to get into the schedule with Michael. Certainly want to talk about this NBA scandal that's going on a little bit. We don't spend too much time on it because there's just so much still to be played out.
There's way too much going on.
But I do want to touch on it. And plenty more. And, of course, we want to take your phone call, 715-424-2600. Hit us in the numbers. Call up and join the conversation right here on Playmakers, where we speak sport. All thanks to our great friends over at Quality Plus Printing.
Your brand has the power to hit harder than a Grand Slam champion. And Wicked Awesome Media is here to bring the heat. From custom pens and mugs to branded apparel and swag that serves up serious style, Wham! Delivers championship-level creativity that helps your business crush the competition. Swing by Quality Printing Plus on 8th Street in Wisconsin Rapids or visit whaminc.com. That's WAMINK.com. Wham! Helping brands smash their goals and win every match.
Time to lace up those skates with 105.5 WIRI and your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings. Join us for every home game this season. Take the pride in your team like they do each other. As Coach Paul says,
you got to have everybody buying in, and you got to be playing for the logo.
Hear insights from Coach on Playmakers, and join us for every home game on 105.5 WIRI. Support the boys of winter as they build hockey up and down the river. Game on!
In August, Patty and Eddie of Cabins on the Lake in Friendship lost their home in a devastating fire. These two people are always the first to help others, and now it's our turn to help them. Join us for a fun benefit Saturday, November 1st from noon until 5 p.m. at Connell's Cedar Shack in Adams. Music, food, live and silent auctions with awesome prizes, 50-50s, and lots of fun. All proceeds go to assist Patty and Eddie rebuild. Join us November 1st at Connell's Cedar Shack, just south of Adams on Highway 13. You'll have a good time for a great cause.
If you already love Laura's laid-back picks of the day, then you'll love her newest show, Red Folk and Blue. It has the sounds of American music, folk.
Windows are down,
bluegrass,
he got to reach a little bit higher.
Blues.
I've been feeling like a piece of rice paper.
And Americana.
Why can't I?
Red Folk and Blue on 105.5 FM WIRI. Saturdays at 7.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly sunny for your Wednesday afternoon. Mid-50s and northeast winds on the light side. For tonight, a few clouds and some patchy fog forming. Lows in the lower 30s, so watch out for some low visibilities as you start your morning. Otherwise, partly sunny, lower 50s. Right now, it's 55.
Welcome back, everyone. Playmakers here on 105.5 WIRI. We speak sport. Thanks to our friends over at Quality Plus Printing. Michael and James hanging out with you. Hang out with us. Call up and join the conversation. Hit us in the numbers 715-424-2600. Looking forward to hanging out with everybody. Appreciate the King playing us in here a little bit. Michael, I want to get to the NFL and the college and NFL schedule with you.
Yep.
I also wanted to talk about a little bit of Kings, that they are in action out of town this weekend. Remind everybody about that. But we have not talked about it since the news broke about the big gambling scandal in the NBA. For anybody not paying attention, massive gambling sting resulted in the arrest of Portland Trail Blazers head coach Chauncey Billups, Miami Heat guard Terry Rozier, and both involved in different schemes. This is also involved former player and coach Damon Jones. There's a lot of this that is a lot of smoke.
Yeah,
there's a lot of like, hey, look at what we're doing here, and a lot of that. There's a lot of pomp and circumstance attached to this, and there's also a lot of crime.
There's a lot of organized crime there,
and a lot of illegal gambling, and a lot of bad stuff going on allegedly. All that we have to say for the attorneys and everything else. But there's this story 2 months from now. It comes out, and hey, it turns out everybody was clean. Nobody did nothing. It doesn't matter. You have a black eye to start your NBA yeah. season that you could not ask for almost a worse story other than maybe the Tim Donaghy story years back about him, you know, betting on games and all this. The NBA has always been basketball, really, not just the NBA, ABA, college basketball. College basketball is even worse when it comes to this topic. It's always been a problem. It's always mm-hmm. been a thing.
Yep.
And it's unfortunate to me that basketball has always taken the hit of this and everything because I love the sport, the game itself. I'm not talking about the NBA, college basketball, anything. I'm talking about two kids picking up a basketball on a blacktop yep. and playing the 10. That's what I'm talking about. Yep. I love the game of basketball yep. In its essence. It's also privy to these things easier than almost any other sport. It's tougher to prove than any other sport. It is extremely difficult to prove one way or the other whether a guy was shaving a point here or there, or certain things were. Yeah. I'm not saying it's unprovable. It certainly can be proven, and in a court of law, which these gentlemen, I'm sure, are aware of. But it's tough to prove. It's just saying that it's tough. And it's a nasty thing to have going on with your sport. But I'm getting a little bit like thrown back by the clutching of pearls by the Mouse Network and the Fox and some of these holier-than-thou individuals that have no problem taking money from DraftKings or any of these draft, you know, these gambling yeah. sites and no, like, no accountability. Like we all are taken from the popper here. We're all agreeing that, hey, gambling's now okay, and we're all right with all these things. You got the NCAA saying that they're going to allow college athletes to gamble on, bet on pro games.
Yep, and the SEC, said, hey, you need to have an emergency thing saying stop, and yeah. I guess they are going to stop.
They're going to look into it, but it's just a matter of time.
Yeah.
It's no different than a lot of other things when they tease it to yeah. see what people will right. think before they actually do it.
Yep.
We're closer to that than we're farther away from it, that's for sure.
Yep.
It's what you get. You know, it's like I don't know how you can be shocked by this, because I think a lot of people immediately will look at the money and some of that, and certainly money plays its part. But we're talking more so about individuals and what do you do after you've spent literally your whole life trying to get to this one place and you got there and you did it. You beat the odds. You are one of a small percentage of people that made it to the pro game, and all of a sudden 10 years go by in a blink of of an eye and your career is over.
Yep.
But you still have that competitive spirit. You still have that insane desire that got you to that level that others could not get to, even if you
join a dart league.
I mean, some people do. So look at what Joe Gibbs did. Joe Gibbs got in the racing. Joe Gibbs got in the racing, never heard from him since. You hear from here. As far as in football, you don't and everything. That's one of the greatest coaches I've ever seen and one of the craziest coaches I've ever seen. I like Joe Gibbs. I thought he was awesome as a coach. And it's cool to see what happened with them. Had he had a chance to live, you would have saw the same thing. And you can hear this from Joe Gibbs in a great interview where he got the idea. He always wanted to do this, but where he got the braveness for him to pull away from football was Walter Payton.
Yep.
Walter Payton, had he gotten to live the life he deserved to, that's what he had been doing. There's a generation that may have even known Walter as a racer as opposed to as an NFL running back and stuff. To your point, man, you find different avenues here. Mookie Betts is a big-time bowler. He loves bowling. When his game is up, he's going to be bowling. That's what he'll probably be doing.
Bo Jackson, I mean, whatever Bo Jackson touched, he was good at. Okay.
But
Bo Jackson, when he archery. He makes his own arrows. He makes his own bows, and my goodness, the man can shoot.
I don't necessarily empathize with these individuals, but I do think it's important to take everything in context when it comes to it. And not only are they, if they are guilty of these things, they deserve thrown at them and all of those things. But I also feel like you also have to take some accountability for it as a society, and that includes me. I'm not pointing the finger. It includes me. I am a willing participant of society, so I fully understand. Yeah, some more than others.
This is where I kind of, and I'm not trying to be pessimistic about this or question the judicial system at all, but it's like with Otani, it was the interpreter. He had no knowledge of that. It was Sammy Sosa, PEDs. We have no word in our language. The excuse he gave. Fine. They're going to find a way to let him get away with it. Because, I mean, look at baseball with Otani. If would have came out that he did, and it was all a big cover-up, you lost your biggest star, you lost the biggest international star, and baseball's right now, currently would be on life support going into its death sentence, something more than likely going to have a strike. Okay.
Agreed.
Now it's on full strength with your best player, your international star, and it was just a bad interpreter. You can't convince me that it was just him.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do it. Just like in this instance, I'm sure they were. I'm sure of it. But at the same time, they're going to have their day in court. Okay, and if they get proven, okay. Mm-hmm. But it's still going to be a black eye on it.
I hate seeing people with privilege not realize they have privilege and take advantage of that privilege. And I don't care about their place in life or where they came from or any of these things. You lose all of that when you forget these things. And these individuals, if they are guilty of this, just like anybody else that
just
would
like
be,
and
I would say it about anybody else, deserve the full weight of the law thrown at them. Because this is... You're not just messing with the game. You're not just messing with so many, things I can romanticize and all of that and everything. All of the things you said were important, Michael, and true. You also could have just said money. Because they're messing with people's money. And as soon as you start doing that, notice that's when people start caring. If everybody was just betting, pride. That's all that was on the line, pride. DraftKings, bet your pride. Bet, these things. Nobody give a darn. Nobody care anything.
It would exist.
That, anything. When you bring up money, that's when people start caring. That's when people start paying attention. And that's when the law starts getting involved. We'll see how it plays out. I have to say I agree with you. I don't know that they're going to see much. I will say this. I don't think you'll ever see them in the NBA again. I don't think that's
probably not. Probably not.
But that's probably the extent of their punishment. Maybe they get a fine, something like that at the most. I don't know that how much they're going to see jail time or anything like that.
Oh, they're not going to see jail time.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. Looking at the NFL schedule week ahead, the slate ahead for this week in the games, and maybe the Burn the Boats games. We'll see if there are any. Cleveland, New York Jets. I'm sorry, New Jersey Jets. Philadelphia and Tampa Bay are all on a bye. Those are the bye week games for week 9. It's insane that we're already in week 9.
No kidding.
Baltimore and Miami hitting Hard Rock Stadium tomorrow night. We will see which of the real Jekyll and Hyde seasons for both of these teams. We'll see which ones show up. I have a feeling that
Baltimore
not only is going to win that game, and I do think it does look like Lamar Jackson is going to play, but I think you're going to see the real Baltimore, the Baltimore that really has we thought we're going to be see there the whole season. And one of the things that could be really interesting about Baltimore, if they are able to run the table and do well, I'm not saying win every game, but
I think they've got a 6 or 7 game win streak ahead of them starting last week against the Bears.
If they become one of those teams we talk about as Super Bowl contenders, I think one of the interesting things about this will be momentum and the idea of, you know, one thing that you want out of your football player. Man, one thing I want out of my football player, I want their back against the wall.
Yep.
I want them to feel like the world is against them. That's football. That is a huge part of the game to me. I don't care if you're 16-0. Look at what Belichick was able to do with that Patriot team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they didn't lose that game because of motivation.
No.
They didn't lose that game because of, like, a good pep talk didn't happen or something like that. Like, they had all the – that team was hungry. That team fought. That was a good Super Bowl. That to me, is – such like that is such an impressive coaching job. This is part of the reason why I don't discourage Bill Belichick as a great coach of all time.
Right.
It's not just the Super Bowl rings, but being able to do stuff like that. He also loses a ton of points for the cheating. But that's I do give him credit in the motivation category and the ability to do that. That is a masterful job by a coach when you can motivate a team that has everything in the world going for them. If you're able to do that with Baltimore and not only have a team with the former MVP, Derrick Henry, a couple other Hall of Famers and all this other stuff. Oh, and they feel like their back's against the wall. Mm-hmm. The world's, man, watch out for that team. They could be really interesting. Miami, I think, spent what they had. But again, wouldn't mind being wrong. Would be interesting. We'll see what happens.
I think it could be getting interesting. There's only really two games on there that I think are must-see.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one that's, I think, the Burn Your Boat game. I think that's going to take place in Detroit if you're Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Wentz is gone. Is McCarthy going to be back? And who's their third stringer, fourth stringer? If McCarthy's not going to be back yet.
I meant to look this up earlier. Who is on their roster at quarterback? I agree with you. I saw that one right away and thought, okay, that is definitely what a burn the boat game.
Because Minnesota, they can really put a wrench into what Detroit wants to do.
Yeah.
In terms of the division and really open it up for Green Bay. Because at this point, seeing what I'm not trying to knock on them and count the hatch before my chickens here.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's possible you see Green Bay sweep Minnesota this year.
Yeah.
As of how things stand right now. Mm-hmm. Now, that could change. And same with Chicago. I think Green Bay can sweep them too, as of right now.
Yeah, yeah.
But Minnesota, not Detroit, that could be a split yet.
Oh, I would bet on that. I think it's definitely going to be a split. I think that could work out for the Packers in their favor, actually. But because again, what I was just talking about motivation and all those things. But I wouldn't be surprised if Green Bay wins that one either by a touchdown or two.
Yeah.
Or two scores. I agree with you about the Minnesota and Chicago angles. I think that Green Bay sweeps those. I think that you see them pull off and win the division this year. I do think that's
just a question
happen.
Of what seed they get.
Yeah, yeah. But I think it's a two-horse race for sure now between Detroit and Green Bay. I think Minnesota, to me, like I said on Monday, I think it was always about next year for them anyway. I'm not saying that they didn't want to get into the playoffs this year or anything.
House money.
But, you're playing with house money. You got next year to go. And they also have Max Brosmer.
As
their third stringer college quarterback out of Minnesota, so you got a local kid.
I'm not sold on him being able to put up with a good pass rush.
I don't think the world of Carson Wentz or anything, but he has played enough NFL football to handle himself in a pocket. If he is being destroyed in that pocket,
how bad's that O-line?
Because to me, this has always been the issue with Minnesota, and part of the reason I couldn't take them as a serious team this year is the O-line.
The Bears for a while too.
Minnesota did a nice job in the offseason, although I don't understand why they tinkered with that defense when it was so good already. I think that they may have have added too much, or at the very least added too much of their budget to it, when they probably should have put some of that budget in the O-line and quarterback. But regardless, because I don't know how you go into the season believing that J.J. McCarthy or Carson Wentz is going to get you to 18. It's not about winning a playoff game. Right now, as you're starting an NFL season, how do I get to 18? Do I have the arms to get me there? You're no different than an MLB manager, and do I have enough arms to get me to 162? It's not just about making the playoffs or any of this. It's surviving the length of this season, the marathon that it is. That's on them for doing that. They bet wrong in a couple of places. I'm not about to count out J.J. McCarthy any more than I'm going to count out any quarterback.
No.
I don't even know. Maybe Anthony Richardson? Maybe? But I don't even know if I want to count him out. We've just seen too much now of these guys come back. 3 years ago, I would have easily said Daniel Jones is never going to be a great quarterback. And now he's Indiana Jones, maybe the best nickname in football. It happens.
Well, that's one of my two must-see games, Indy going to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
You can say what you want about Pittsburgh. Green Bay demolished them. Cincinnati beat them up. You can say what you want. You give Aaron Rodgers a game with his back against the wall, and that team, you will see what happens. And then my other one, it goes without saying, Chiefs at Bills.
Whew. Should be good. Should be
and
good.
And then the Sunday night game, if Jaden Daniels plays, Seattle, Washington, that could be a dandy. And I'm also interested to see what Arizona does against Dallas. Dallas, we're starting to see free fall.
Yeah.
Right? And free fall is a relative term because they just demolish Washington, but then they get.
But you're right. You're right. Yeah.
But Arizona, I mean, they've lost how many games by how many points?
And I don't even know how they're getting close in some of these games when they don't really have much on either side of the ball, but they're playing pretty darn good football for the most part. And outside of their coach, acting up a little bit there, he seems to be doing a decent job. They seem to be listening to him. The Kansas City-Buffalo game is probably going to be the game of the week. Yep.
Broncos-Texans is a little interesting, so the Texans seem to maybe figured
maybe
something out.
Maybe they did. Maybe they did. If they did, then yes, that could be a great game. If that's the real Houston, what we saw last week, then that could be a great game. Because Denver, you got to take them serious now.
I think Green Bay wearing the throwbacks will be kind of neat.
I love it. What do you guys think of the all-whites? Because I dig it.
I always did like it.
I like it because I like that they included the helmet as all-white, too.
Yes.
I think that part's cool.
It's still just their road top. I mean, that's all that it is.
I'm not going to get bent out of shape about Pittsburgh's uniforms, but I do ask them to just change the pants. You can't have flesh-colored pants on grown men.
That doesn't look right.
You can't do it. You can't do it, man. No. Stop it. Stop that. Otherwise, there's a lot of games that look like not football you want to watch, especially the noon slate.
Man,
that Chicago-Cincinnati game could be awful. Could be god-awful.
It could be a lot of fun, too.
It could be fun football. There could be some crazy wild plays, but I don't know how good the football is going to be in it. There's going to be a lot of penalties. I am all in on Ben Johnson. I'm 1,000% in on Ben Johnson. I have no doubt that he's going to be a decent head coach, if not a great head coach.
Right. Odunze had a very important point this week about that situation, too. And it was supporting of Johnson. But management, GM, ownership, get out of the way and let him do it.
Yeah, yeah.
And who knows how long he's going to be riding a bench for that. But
I saw Johnson come out and complimenting it. I saw Johnson being complimentary about that.
I thought he was being critical. My apologies. Oh. I maybe misunderstood.
No, I think he was being critical, and I think Johnson was all right with it.
I think that was
they landed.
Yeah,
on.
Yeah. I understood the critical of the management, but you understood the Johnson being all right with it.
I love that kid's mentality on and off the field. I am all in on that kid.
He's got me a lot of fantasy points.
He's good. He's good. Watch his route running. Watch his route running. His feet.
It is good.
They're only getting better every game. College football slate, pretty interesting itself. I say we take a beat. We'll play our last timeout here, and we'll come back, talk about the college slate, and we'll get into Little River Kings. And whatever you guys want to talk about, call up and join the conversation here on Playmakers, where we speak sport.
Your brand has the power to hit harder than a Grand Slam champion. And and Wicked Awesome Media is here to bring the heat. From custom pens and mugs to branded apparel and swag that serves up serious style, Wham! Delivers championship-level creativity that helps your business crush the competition. Swing by Quality Printing Plus on 8th Street in Wisconsin Rapids or visit whaminc.com. That's WAMINK.com. Wham! Helping brands smash their goals and win every match.
Here are a list of upcoming events in the Central Wisconsin area on Friday, October 31st. The Vesper Volunteer Fire Department is hosting a brat fry from 4 to 7:30 p.m., and the Vesper Recreation Committee will have games and treats from 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. in the community center. The Beer and Fire Department will have trucks at the park from 5 to 7 p.m., and firefighters will hand out candy. Trunk or treat at the Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge, number 693, 3 until 6 p.m., with candy and food trucks. Don't forget to wear your costume, followed by the Heartbeats Dance at the Elks Lodge from 6 p.m. until midnight. Trick or treat at McMillan Library, 4 to 5:30 p.m. Come in costumes, get treats at the service desks, and be sure to stop at the all-purpose room for a treat and to have your picture taken at the photo booth. Wisconsin Rapids Haunted Walkthrough event at the Wisconsin Rapids Police Department from 3 to 5 p.m. This free, spooky, family-friendly event is open to the community, offering a safe and fun way for kids and families to collect candy. Wishing you a safe and happy Halloween from WFHR and WIRI.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Time to lace up those skates with 105.5 WIRI and your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings. Join us for every home game this season. Take the pride in your team like they do each other. As Coach Paul says,
you got to have everybody buying in, and you got to be playing for the logo.
Hear insights from Coach on Playmakers, and join us for every home game on 105.5 WIRI. Support the boys of winter as they build hockey up and down the river. Game on!
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A partly cloudy sky tonight, lows in the low 30s. And for tomorrow, partly sunny, highs into the low 50s. On Friday, a slight chance of showers, high within a few degrees of 50. Dry and a little warmer this weekend. It's 55 right now.
Welcome back, everyone. Playmakers here on 105.5 WIRI. Hope y'all are having a great afternoon out there. I'm going to take you to the top of the hour. Laura's got some great music lined up for you coming up. Appreciate Mr. Stapleton playing him. Underrated guitar player, Chris Stapleton.
Yeah.
Great one. We got some good stuff coming up for you, of course, in the next couple of weeks. We'll be getting back into our high school schedule. Looking forward to that.
Well, I was going to quick say there's a good one coming up this weekend. State cross country in Wisconsin Rapids at the Ridges Golf Course. First race, Division III boys. Starts at noon, followed by D2 boys, D1 boys, and then 145 D3 girls, and then so on till the final race, D1 girls. The Assumption girls cross country team qualified for the sixth year in a row, as they have one senior on the team. Well, they have several seniors on the team, but one in particular, she is looking to make the podium for her fourth time. She is placed fifth. Third and fourth over her career. She wants to fill in one of those other ones up there, but she wants to make a podium at a minimum. And she set a new course record at Tri-City Golf Course in the sectional. So, outstanding race for the young lady there.
Yeah.
Lucy Dolan. And, of course, two boys, Reed Harches and Michael Dolan, they were the top two finishers in the sectional that they were at. For just based on where it was. But anyways, they are going to run in the first race of the day. Boy, it's It's going to be fun. It's going to be a good time.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how that one plays out. And I wanted to mention real quick, and we'll bring this up a couple of times leading up to it, but our good friends over at Tri-City Curling Club have their open house coming up on November 1st. Be sure to make plans Saturday, November 1st and Saturday, November 8th over at 131 Hurley Street in Wisconsin Rapids, not too far from us over here. They got a lot of fun things lined up for that open house. If you've ever wanted to learn more about curling, maybe even take part in curling or find out more, be a rock star. Try curling. It's awesome. It's a fun sport, especially if you don't know anything about it. I actually kind of envy people a little bit that don't know anything about curling and just jumping into it, especially with the gang over at Tri-Norris. They're wonderful people over there. They love growing the sport, and all come one, come all.
Yeah, and you can look like one of those one of the guys from the U.S. men's Olympic curling team that looked like it was just a guy's weekend away, and they somehow found themselves in the Olympics and won a gold medal.
It's just like he all of a sudden he came to, and he's like, oh my God, am I playing curling? That was awesome. It was awesome. Great moment. Want to just take a look at I wanted to mention as well that the River Kings are in action this weekend. Of course, we talked with Coach Paul about this.
Over in Holland, Michigan.
Taking on the Fresh Coast Freeze. You got to talk to their coach.
Yeah, not coach. I got to talk to their play-by-play guy.
Yes.
They put together a podcast with Fresh Coast. Maybe that's something we look into in the future.
Absolutely.
Who knows?
Absolutely.
Because he does a good job with it. Talk to him for, well, unfortunately, I discovered today Skype only lasts about a half an hour. I did not know that. It's dumb. Yeah. But, I mean, we talked hockey. We talked everything about it. Talked to River Kings, Northwoods, or USPHL. Talked about some of my interests and how I got into it.
Sure.
It was a good time, and he'll be playing it some pregame stuff, and then of course between periods, and it'll be up on some podcast eventually of the conversation. So that was really cool. Get to talk to somebody from somewhere else about the same league.
It's how we grow the sport. How we grow the league. Doing things like that. I appreciate you taking the time to do that, and them reaching out and everything.
Spared
That's
no
really
expense.
Cool of them that they did. I wish Skype would. I wish.
No, you know, it's cheap.
At the Kings in action on Halloween and November 1st. Weird times for these games too. 8:30 on Halloween, 4:30 time on the Saturday. Should be interesting. We'll talk about the results on Monday, of course. Looking forward to it. Kings are back in action next weekend, taking on the Minnesota Mullets at the Rec. That's going to be good. Those are going to be good games, and hopefully, and I don't want to take Minnesota lightly or anything like that.
They got to win these to stack up some points.
Yes, and build up some confidence, some chemistry. Man,
back-to-back weeks coming up.
Just big ones against the Ox and Squatch, back-to-back weekends and everything.
That's tough.
And a great, but you know, if you gotta go into your Thanksgiving break, I think that's a great way to do it. You want to play the best, and we talked to Coach Paul enough. That's definitely his mentality.
Heal up before you get a little bit of a reprieve, quote unquote, against the Blades.
Yeah,
and then you go to a Chicago showcase. Then you're off until you get to play up in Spooner against the Express again. Ooh, baby, that's tough.
The season's just. So not long enough, man. It's just never long enough.
Never is.
I enjoy it, though. We will talk more about that on Monday, Kings, and certainly wishing them well this weekend. Remind everybody on Friday's show. And we'll probably take a little bit look at the college football schedule a little more, maybe. But for right now, taking a look at it, nothing too interesting leading into Saturday, although Tennessee. Absolutely. That's a good one. But as far as the games leading into it is the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday games, which, yes, there are Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday games. For those that didn't know, on Friday you've got number 25 Memphis at R. Rice, and you've got North Carolina at Syracuse, just because of the Belichick factor. And Syracuse is an interesting
hit and
team.
Miss.
Yeah, Penn State at Ohio State.
That lost luster.
Yeah, really did. Number 9 Vanderbilt at Texas could be good, could be interesting.
Ooh, that one. Yeah.
If for nothing else, then maybe the final nail in Texas's coffin because
could be.
They very similar to Penn State, are part of the reasons why you should not have preseason rankings, that they make no darn sense. And also part of the reason why you shouldn't put so much hype on any individual in sports. Just, you gotta stop.
Good old Arch.
Let these kids be. Let them play. I think Arch Manning is a first-round draft pick. I think he's going to be a fine NFL quarterback.
I agree.
I don't think he's going to have a good collegiate career.
No.
If it's already pretty much done anyway, so I don't think that it's the way it's looking. It's not going to end well for them. And I think a lot of that has to do with coaching and just players not developed, not playing well because of coaching.
Yeah.
You know, you spent more money on an offensive line than anybody in college football, and look at them. Like, a lot of that has to do with coaching, man, not just the players. Number 10, Miami traveling to SMU could be interesting as well. We'll see where that one plays out. I have no idea what to think of Illinois football. Who knows what's going on with that?
Indiana at Maryland, I think, could be a trap.
And Maryland is one of those teams. They got a great quarterback, and they are sneaky good. I'm not saying they're going to win it, but they could make it interesting. I do think, though, it is one of the ways that you see, is Indiana a true number two? Because if they dominate Maryland, that's what big good teams do. It's what we haven't seen from Oregon. Otherwise, I'm with you. The Oklahoma game is probably one of the more...
USC at Nebraska, that could be interesting. But Cincinnati, Utah, the late night Saturday night.
Oh, yeah. South Carolina at Ole Miss. I love that Sellers. I love that quarterback at South Carolina. I really like him. He's got some growing to do, but he's good. To me, I would take him right away if I needed a quarterback in the NFL draft. Oklahoma, Tennessee. I think that's the one for me. That's the
one. It's like last week, the only one that was really any good to watch was could be Pittsburgh, Green Bay in the NFL.
Yeah. You're right. Cincinnati at Utah. Utah is 24th ranked. That could be an interesting one.
Cincinnati with one loss, Utah with two.
I love the late night games. It is wild to see. All of that's interesting, but I cannot help but also think, I wonder when we get together Monday, what coaching vacancy are we going to be talking about as well? Because that just seems to be a theme this year. Every week we're talking about either an upset or a coach losing their job.
Yep.
I don't know who's next, but I also don't know that there should be anybody next because, man, I don't know if you can top the LSU job.
No.
I would not want to be looking for a coach this year. I would not want
not
to compete
really.
With that or Florida or any of these teams. So, I don't know.
And then our stat of the show, to answer that, the only three to not beat every team, they finished with 31, Ben Roethlisberger, Alex Smith, and Kerry Collins.
Nice. Wow, Kerry Collins. Wow, good reference.
Yeah.
Great show today, man.
You too, buddy.
Have a good night, everybody.
Live from Central Wisconsin and on the free Civic Media app, 105.5 WIRI, Nakusa, Wisconsin Rapids, your home for country favorites and classics. This is 105.5 WIRI.
Hello and welcome to Laura's Lounge on 105.5 FM WIRI. My name is Laura and I'm happy to be here with you on this Wednesday afternoon. I hope y'all are well. Let's kick things off with Rascal Flatts.